took me 6 months to even get my first deal. I think I went to about 60 viewings where I qualified them for a company layout, went to SA, and I couldn't close.
You can't compare yourself to other people. You see some people saying, oh, I joined the academy and within a month I was financially free, but it can be slower than that.
What does your business generate on average a month?
This month currently, it's been 55 grand. 55 in turnover this month.
What about profit?
Typically, the management will profit about 9 grand this month.
I remember you told me that you were going to be the most annoying academy member.
I did.
What did you mean by that?
I said I'm gonna be messaging you. I'm gonna be making sure that I succeed.
What is it that you're doing successfully that's generating that kind of revenue?
I think it's trust. I think everyone we work with trusts us. I think it's about relationships.
I think, you know, through that, we've kind of only really found that there's 3 reasons that an SA is not going to be booked.
So Jamie and Matt, welcome to Winners on a Wednesday.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks for coming and sharing your story, man. Matt, have you ever been broke before?
I've been broke before, yeah.
Badly or a little bit?
So probably starting in my journey, I kind of went and spent all of my money on the academy, on trying to get my first SA, traveling around, hotels, yeah.
Tough.
To be honest, I started the academy with quite a bit of money. I started with about 40K in savings and just blew that in a year academy, traveling around, hotels, networking, meeting people.
And a lot of people say you're crazy, but the bottom line is, when you go uni, you only invest 40 grand into your education.
Easy, yeah.
I mean, the academy is only 12, but you were probably taking expensive Ubers and stuff. So
I was traveling around to a lot of properties every day,
viewing houses, staying at hotels.
Yeah.
And tough start, man. I always say, if you give it, the academy is a 12-month program, not a 12-week program, because it does take sometimes longer. You know what I mean? You can't compare yourself to other people. You see some people saying, "Oh, I joined the academy and within a month I was financially free," but it can be slower than that. So,
absolutely.
What about yourself? What's your? I know you guys met on the academy and have now partnered up and are taking over the world. What's your background and how did you get onto the academy?
So content, generally marketing content, so like filmmaking and some other bits.
Yeah.
And we met networking, didn't we, through the academy for one of the events. So essentially, I had an investor that needed like 30 plus units, and I met yourself. We were both kind of deal sources at the time, packaging for investors. And you had a deal, I had an investor, and we kind of kicked it off.
Yeah.
And we were like, whoa, okay, let's do some business. And
So you're deal sourcing now a lot?
Sometimes. We don't get much.
I saw you just sell a deal just before the show, man. You were just there on your phone selling a deal right now.
Yeah, to be honest, we do it without thinking, actually. Like,
we do.
Every 10 minutes we're on the phone closing someone or understanding where we can add value. Or
what does your business generate on average a month?
So technically, we've been like operating for now what, no longer than 4 months in terms of this venture.
Probably, yeah.
And what was the most recent month?
So this month currently, it's been 55.
55 grand.
55 in turnover this month.
What about profit?
So profit-wise, because a lot of it goes out to investors themselves, we manage the properties and we pass the bookings on. But typically, the management will profit about 9 grand this month.
That's pretty good. That's really good. 9 grand for management, and then also the bits and bobs that you're selling on top of that.
Yeah.
So there's no deals. That's no passing of bookings. That's no sign-ups. That's no nothing else.
That's just the recurring regular from the management.
Yeah.
So what you made it.
We made it.
I remember you told me that you were going to be the most annoying academy member.
I did.
What did you mean by that?
I said I'm gonna be messaging you. I'm gonna be making sure that I succeed. In the sense of, I was messaging you on Instagram a lot. I had. Probably 5 mentor calls a day for the first like 6 months of my academy membership.
Jeez.
Like, I was relentless.
That's a lot of mentoring, bro.
Yeah. I think Simon and Huslin have probably had the most amount of mentor calls with me, probably pulled their hair out by now.
And you've been on like every mastermind.
I was on every single mastermind. I was, because we do the Monday, but I was also on the Tuesday and the Wednesdays as well. I was on every single
mastermind. I always say though, that there's no way, I mean, it's never happened, you can be an academy member and actually take action and be on the masterminds once a week. There's never been anyone that's come on every single mastermind, even just one mastermind call a week, and then not being financially free by the end of the 12 months.
Yeah.
It's never happened.
No.
Because ultimately, you can't, man. You can't be around that environment and talking and every week. If I'm like, after 2 months, if I'm like, how much money you made? Nothing. next month, how much money you made. It gets embarrassing.
Yeah, no, I think one kind of part of my story was the fact it did take me long. It took me 6 months to even get my first deal. And I have to thank like a few Academy members for that, for helping me, because I was going to, I think I went to about 60 viewings where I'd qualified them for a company layout, went to SA, and I couldn't close. I had no idea how to close. And then obviously I had my friend Asim Ramsey. He helped me close.
And he's been on Winners Wednesday.
He's been on Winners Wednesday. I still talk to him now. He's a busy, busy guy. So not as much talking going on, but he actually said good luck to on your winners on a Wednesday today.
So I
appreciate that guy.
Thing is, if you're putting in the activity and you're not getting results, it's normally because something's broken. So what's broken? Are you viewing bad properties that don't stack up? Are you not viewing enough properties? Are you not, for you it was, you were viewing a lot of properties, you were viewing good properties, but you just weren't closing.
I had no confidence. And I've spoke to a few people before, because we try and help as many people as we can, because I've been there struggling and I hate to see other people struggle. So, you know, and I speak to people, say, look, if you're not confident, then you can have the best pitch ever, but they're never going to close because they don't trust you.
Yeah. So why did you guys then team up then, Jamie? What was the rationale behind that?
I think we were both having some challenges at the time, and they were kind of similar challenges, but slightly different in some other ways. And I remember saying to Matt at the time, come down to Brighton and see a few of my own essays. I'll kind of show you what I've got going on down here. And then you came down to Brighton. It was literally the first time we met outside of meeting. We just kind of kicked it off from there. And then, yeah, I think we just kind of started crashing our heads together and kind of brought together what we're good at. I think we've got different things that we're both differently skilled in. So when you bring that together,
I think what are your roles and responsibilities now then?
It's an interesting question, because we both do whatever the hell needs to be done. There is no like distinctive, this is your responsibility. We just do what we're doing. But I think, we do everything, don't we? There's nothing we don't do, because...
Yeah.
Do you think it's important to us having a partner? Do you think that some people are wired towards succeeding more with a partner? Like, I have a partner, my brother's my business partner, and I'm of the mindset I'd rather take 50% of something huge than 100% of something small.
I think with any partnership, it can be the make or break of a business. I think the reason our business has grown so much is because we're like a house on fire together. But if you're kind of clashing a lot, then it can be the break of a business and it can really hold you back massively. To touch on kind of our kind of job roles, I guess I take more of the role of the calendar side of things, the Airbnb side of things, whereas Jamie kind of attracts them into what they want to see with like kind of his mindset of like decor kind of stuff and like what do people want to see? And then I'm kind of like, how do they want to see it?
The way to tell if a business is doing good or not is to just look at the money coming in.
Yeah.
The fact that you guys have brought in 55 grand last month means that you're obviously winning. You're doing something right. What is that? What is the ingredient? What is it that you're doing successfully that's generating that kind of revenue?
I think it's trust. I think everyone we work with trust us. I think it's about relationships, right? I think to generalize on the answer, a lot of our clients or some of our clients have really bad property deals. So like they've essentially took a property on without running their own due diligence and they're not the ideal figures. So some of our clients have, obviously I won't name anyone, but one of our clients specifically has a rent-to-rent from somebody that acted as a landlord but wasn't, it was a company, right, already on a rent-to-rent, to a rent-to-rent. So there's so many people down that chain, and every time there's an increase of rent, about 400 quid. So this guy at the end now is like, it ain't going to work. Like, it's not working for me. The numbers don't make sense. There's no money in the deal.
Like a terrible daisy chain going on.
Yeah, very bad.
Sounds like a right mess.
So this is the kind of situation we get come towards us, and we sit and we look, we do our own due diligence. We work the figures out and we work out where they'll break even, and we're like, damn. So this deal at the minute is not an ideal deal for anyone, managed or not, but it's like a 90% break even. Like, it's crazy tight. But he went from personally putting in like 6-7 grand a month, it's an apart hotel we just taken on, to now actually mitigating his loss entirely and making money at that stack, which is kind of not doable. A lot of people would just say, mate, like, No chance. You've got a bad deal there.
So is your skill then being able to maximize bookings on properties, would you say, and that's what you're doing, you're managing people's properties, even if they've got themselves into a bit of a pickle, but they're not making much profit, and then you're using the algorithms of Airbnb, using the right channel management softwares and systems, and you're just pushing the rent high, and then you're taking a percentage profit of that.
Yeah,
absolutely.
So is that your key skill as a business?
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah. I'd say it's one of our strongest is yeah. definitely getting you seen and getting your books.
So let's talk about that then. How do you know if a property is going to work for serviced accommodation versus maybe it's just not meant to be? Maybe it's just better as a single family home. What due diligence and market research can you do to figure out if it's going to work well?
Yeah. So kind of research we would do is, you know, what's in the area? What are people wanting? Is there demand? Is this a good quality property? Because we have properties in locations that you wouldn't expect to work.
Like where?
So we've got one in Brighton. And obviously everyone says Brighton. But I remember you kind of saying on a crash course, you zoomed into the area, we have one in. He was like, this area doesn't work. I was like, we have one in that area and it's fully booked. Wow.
Because when I say this area doesn't work, what I mean is, this area doesn't work easily.
Yeah.
Right? This area would not be a typical area. I wouldn't necessarily say this area cannot work. Mm. It might be that if you can tap into contractors and relocators, it could, but it's going to be a tough nut to crack.
It's fully booked just off that.
Off what?
Contractors and relocators.
Right.
Quite literally.
There we go.
Do you know what I mean?
But you have to work to make that happen. You can't just stick it on Airbnb.
No.
If you get a property in a council estate where there's no hotels around, and just stick it on Airbnb,
it's failing.
With IKEA furniture, you ain't going to get any bookings.
No.
You'd be better off renting it to a housing association, renting it to a family home, or maybe passing it to you guys and seeing if you can make some magic. But that's a tough nut to crack.
It is a tough nut to crack.
Yeah.
How do you target contractors?
A lot of them do actually come through OTAs, like Airbnb, Booking.com. A lot of them do come through there. But then they kind of always reach out to us direct as well.
It's in their favour.
Yeah, absolutely. It's in their favour because a lot of time they want the cheapest rate possible. And if they can see that your website looks nice, it looks good, they automatically trust you more. So then a lot of the time they'll come direct to us and we'll put them in there. And then a lot of the time as well, if they've got a lot of work going on, they end up extending. They just extend and extend.
How did you spend $40,000 that in that first year? It doesn't make any sense. I can't get that out of my head. That is so unnecessary and ridiculous. I mean, $12,000 for the academy, I'd say, is very good. But $40,000? What?
That's a BRR.
That is a BRR, yeah.
Did you buy a BRR? It didn't work.
No. So my first rent to SA... wasn't going well for quite a while. It was getting booked, then it wasn't. Then
how much money did you put into it?
So I put, to start up, I put about $9,000 in. And then I was putting probably about $1,000 a month for rent wise in.
And it just wasn't working?
Wasn't working.
Why?
Do you know what? One thing I massively overlooked when I first started out was quality. I kind of had the mindset of, you know, if there's demand, yeah, someone's going to stay. The property did really, really well for a marketing standpoint of view. I was getting probably about 10,000 views a month on that property.
But no one was booking it.
No one was booking.
Is that because the pictures weren't good or the furniture wasn't good?
Pictures, furniture, the property itself.
Why then? Because were you working at the time? Did you have a job? Were you just too busy to run it properly?
No, I was full-time.
You were just shit.
I was, yeah. Yeah, I learned a lot from that.
you were just really, really shit.
So I was great. I was great at getting, you know, and that's still my strong suit now, is I'm great at getting properties in front of people. Like,
are you a different Matt from 2 years ago?
100%. Absolutely. 100%.
From 6 months ago.
From 2 months ago. Yeah.
You've just grown massively as a businessman.
Yeah, absolutely. I was very, very anxious and shy when I first started. Hence why I went to about 60 qualified viewings that they qualified it. All I have to do is pass them a contract and I couldn't even get that across the line.
You were just anxious.
Beyond anxious. And I do thank Jamie a lot for that to help boost my confidence and yourself and all the mentors for allowing me to gain more confidence.
Did you ever think after 6 months of trying and just losing money hand over fist because you were shit, Did you ever think, I'm not cut out to be an entrepreneur?
No, no, absolutely not.
Where did that belief come from that you knew that you would grow and you would change and you would turn it around eventually?
I think I always knew from when I was very, very young, I always said I'm going to be a successful businessman, entrepreneur. I've tried multiple different avenues. I tried e-com, affiliate marketing.
How many jobs have you been fired from?
Today, 5 or 6.
So you couldn't even hold down a job, no. Let alone a business.
It's an achievement.
That is an achievement, yeah.
So you kept getting fired all the time. I knew you were going to be successful because you kept showing up.
Yeah.
And I say this, and this is your living proof. You've probably heard me say it many times. 80% of success is just showing up. If you can just keep coming, getting back on the horse, getting to the networking events, coming to the training, showing up to the masterminds, eventually the successful people around you and the mentors and the team and the community, it will shape you and it will rub off on you eventually. Absolutely. Even if it takes 6 to 12 months.
Yeah.
And you did do that.
Absolutely. I said to myself, I wouldn't give up. And I'll keep going.
How did you find it coming to the events in the early days with your anxiety? Was that a problem? Was that fine?
That was hard. But I basically said to myself that if I've got this major anxiety, there has to be a change, right? But if I'm just going to keep telling myself, I've got anxiety. No, I'm not cracking this. And then I'd still be sat at home with anxiety now. Mm. So you kind of, the sad reality is kind of have to get up and deal with it.
Where did the anxiety come from, do you think?
Where did it come from? I mean, I've always been like the, what do you call it, a black swan of the, like I've always wanted to do something, you know, and I think everyone's always looked to me kind of like, you know, just like this outcast kind of person. So I never really had many friends when I was growing up. You know, didn't really have any relationships until I was 20 odd. So I was quite always nervous. But I think that's probably where it came from. And it was only the fact that joining the academy and being able to speak on stage about, you know, what I'm doing and meeting Jamie, I think.
That's mad though that you were speaking on with that kind of social anxiety.
My heart was pounding.
Because like, I'll pull you up on stage. I'm like, Matt, you have to give an account. What you've done this month, go.
Yeah.
200 people in the room.
Yeah. And I think the first academy dinner as well, like my heart was pounding when I was like, I just signed my first month booking. Like, yeah, and my heart was pounding. And yeah. Like, yeah, I was trying to picture one naked so I don't.
You do that naturally. Anyway.
Do you know that naturally? Yeah, no, I shouldn't have said that.
And there's like 300 people there and you're on stage sharing. That is mad. That is some achievement.
You have to. If you want to be successful, you can't let things hold you back.
Yeah. No wonder you weren't able to sell or close.
I couldn't. And I speak to, you know, I said to Asim, like, why can't I sell? He's like, Matt, you're just waffling. I was like,
because you're scared of the confrontation of actually closing the deal. Yeah. So instead, you'll just talk about a load of other nonsense.
I was jeopardizing my own deals. I think massively having the community, Jamie, like definitely helped a lot. Now we're closing deals daily at the moment. It's naturally ridiculous.
Yeah. What kind of deals are you closing at the moment then, Jamie?
So at the minute we've got a really nice luxury 7-bed on the River Thames with a boat at the bottom, sauna, hot tub, steam room, pool, like really high end luxury stuff. Way to like commercial LOAs. We've got an Italian restaurant with units up the top. Just everything you can imagine.
And you screw it on a lease option.
Yeah,
tell me about that. That sounds awesome.
So we're probably going to meet in the next couple of weeks. There's a little bit of a bit of battle with an agent that's trying to winning with valuations and things, but he's open-minded with the like sort of delayed sale, and essentially it's a really beautiful commercial unit at the bottom currently running as a restaurant, and then there's a few units at the top, and we can get some great units for really decent prices, to be fair. So right. It's just
how are you finding these people then? Are you like going networking? Are you finding them online? Are you hitting the phones?
We literally called him on a whim one time, just doing a bit of sourcing. This is like an LOA that we sat on for about a year now, to be honest with you. Like, this guy's just, when we were closing people, like we were closing block deals over the phone. When we did more sourcing in the earlier days, like we were just so hot on it and under the radar. That's where the balance is quite healthy. I think you're more about kind of getting in there with the relationships and kind of getting known and speaking with everyone. And I'm a bit more to myself, but when I'm focused and laser focused, it's closing, So when we come together, I think it all just went whoosh, didn't it? Like the closing was natural.
How do you manage your reputation within, when you're growing so quickly and you've got, how many properties have you got at the moment under management or under control?
So 22, like 21, 22.
The one we just closed before this would be our 21st. So that'll go live in a couple of days. That's so live is 20. Incoming will be another 7 or 8.
And are those properties mostly houses, flats?
Mixture.
Mixed. We've got a apart hotel, so mixed.
How big is the apart hotel?
The one we closed just now is another 6-bed apart hotel. They're all singular lets within one.
So a lot of, how many units then you've got?
Well, if we include that as 6, the one as 6.
Well, here it's 30 now. Yeah, close to 30. It's quite ridiculous.
So if you've got like 30 units and you're managing all these properties, dealing with all these investors and growing quickly, how are you ensuring the quality of the delivery? Because ultimately, I mean, you guys have got pretty decent reputation. I only hear good things from investors and people that the properties that you're managing. How do you ensure that you can deliver and follow through?
For the investors or the guests?
Yeah, everything. Everything, the whole everywhere. Business.
Yeah. I think it comes down to systems. It comes down to relationships. And it comes down to kind of experience and having open conversations with everybody and just having that open, transparent process with everyone, whether it's cleaners, you know, whether it's cleaning teams, maintenance guys.
Yeah, because you've got contractors now, you've got VAs.
That's it. So even the VA is doing incredible. We need more hours with this VA.
Where are they based?
More VAs. So at the minute, this VA is in the Philippines.
Yeah.
But we need to take more on, to be honest, because we're scaling so quick. So we're taking more on.
What does the VA do?
At the minute, doing quite a lot for us.
Yeah, right? She's basically like another business partner. So that's how much work she's doing.
Really?
She's doing incredible. A lot. She's doing the listings. She's making sure the listings are still on the first page of Airbnb.
So she's solid.
She's amazing. And she's only been with us like 3 weeks and she's just taken off.
How much does she pay her?
£500 a month.
Yeah.
That's not a lot, is it?
It's just one deal. Do you know what I mean? Like you do one a month. I mean, it's like a fifth of the deal. So
yeah. £500. And how many hours is she working for that?
So it's 3 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Wow.
But what's funny as well, what's quite funny as well is she does, because she does the listings, we actually just passed on a booking and we got £600 out of that.
Just yesterday, yeah.
So just yesterday. So she paid herself for one booking.
Just from being optimized, being seen.
And we don't even train
her up from nothing.
But what you guys are good at then is outsourcing the mundane stuff that you don't need to do yourself. And then focusing on actually growing the business, but ensuring that the delivery is there.
Absolutely. It's all about the delivery at the end of the day, because you can have as much going on as you want. You can scale as quickly as you like, but you can lose it just as quick.
And yeah, you can.
You need the security. So I've always been a bit more, I'd say, grounded. And I've always said, this is great. It's working evidently, but there's no security. So we need to just have systems. We need to have the bigger picture as such.
Yeah.
And when we started implementing systems and just thinking about them next steps, it all just started tightening up and making sense.
What advice would you give to somebody that's in a regular job, that's wanting to start from the ground up in property? What would you say is the best practical advice for them? Because you guys got started from scratch with no property experience prior, and now you're doing $55,000 in turnover a month, which is incredible. So what advice would you give to someone starting out?
I think if you know nothing, you know no one, and you've never even thought of it before, property specifically, you have to start by just becoming aware of what you're not sure of. I think that's the hardest thing, is sometimes you don't know what you don't know. And even when you get to a certain level and you hit certain beats in your story, you then go, okay, but now what? You still don't know what you don't know. So it's a continuous journey, right? It's relative. Yeah. So I think you just have to put yourself in environments and have those conversations with people that do know something. And it could be something so minute, it could just be about, you know, it could be their experience as a guest in an Airbnb, and it could be enough to just open your eyes to, oh, okay, well, that's quite, I'd like to have been the host on that actually, because the way they've just spoken about this property, it gave me a bit of excitement.
Yeah.
It could just be any small nugget of just,
I agree. Awakening. And also not being afraid to ask the stupid questions.
Yeah.
When you start out, you know, there's people that are afraid to ask a question because it seems too basic. But you got to ask those questions.
You have to be that guy. You just have to. You have to.
And it's not annoying, even with Matt, when Matt said, like, oh, I'm probably the most annoying person on the academy. I always tell people, you know what? Book as many mentoring calls as you possibly want. There's no cap.
Yeah.
Like, you got to utilize your mentorship, man. You've got to absolutely.
That's what I never did. Because you did massively.
I didn't do any of it. I was at every single event, every mastermind, every mentor call.
We are literally yin and yang. Like literally, no one knew me, and I did nothing.
You were quiet. Kept your head down.
On the radar, just calculating.
So, how has Matt helped you blow up? Then your business, would you say?
I'd say Matt's helped me from
because he credits you an awful lot. So I'm wondering how he's helped you blow up.
Yeah, I'd say Matt's helped because in his early days of the journey, he was the guy everyone knew in the network.
Because he'd been showing up. So he had, was it almost like he had a big network, everyone knew him, he had lots of landlords and lots of opportunities and low-hanging fruit, but he couldn't quite close them and then you came along and just closed them.
Yeah, and it just started blowing from there. It was just like, all right, let's sit down, let's talk. And it
interesting.
Was, bang, you know, everything was closed. And the people you helped as well, you know, we're always givers. We're always going to help anyone regardless of where they're from or what they're going through because we've both come from humble starts.
Right? Like working class, kind of weren't born with a silver spoon in your mouth. Top
far thing. From, absolutely.
Yeah. So where did you grow up?
South London.
Yeah.
So I just think, you know, you grow through what you go through.
Yeah.
At the end of the day. And you can only grow with the right conditions of light and water, right? We're all, at the end of the day, just parts of nature. We're just parts of cog.
Well, I always tell people, if you're struggling in property or business, and you think, oh, it might be because I'm stupid or maybe because I'm not cut out for it. If it's about your environment.
Absolutely.
It's the same with Matt. If a flower in a house plant isn't blossoming, you don't blame the flower as it's a stupid flower. You put it in the sunlight and you water it. And what Matt needed was to be put in the sunlight, put on stage, pushed out of his comfort zone, watered and showered with mentoring calls and support. And now you're shining brightly.
Absolutely. And I can't thank you enough, obviously, for that. And can't thank Jamie enough for that as well. Yeah, absolutely. We're just at the start. And I think a lot of what we wanted to do is just help people because we see a lot of people struggling. And I was there at one point. So
bro,
I think that's
the amount of landlords that are struggling now with the new tax changes and the fact that the interest rates have gone up and house prices have gone down.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. So, but people don't realize because they skipped the seminar what they can do. What would you say has been your hardest, your biggest struggle that you've had and the lesson from that, Matt? Like, you've been through a lot of ups and downs.
Yeah. Biggest struggle was absolutely the confidence issue and kind of getting started. I think everything I went through, I struggled. So getting the deal closed was the first struggle. And then when I got the deal closed, it was then, well, now how do I get a book? That was another struggle. And I think there's always been, you know, and you say there's always going to be struggles no matter where you're at in your position. You know, but now we've got the struggle of how much tax we're going to be paying. So,
That's a good struggle.
Yeah, so I'm a bit worried to see that from the accountant, I think. But that was definitely my main struggle was the confidence of and even just getting booked on the SAs. And now I've managed to figure out, you know, the issues that was causing it. I think, you know, through that, we've kind of only really found that there's three reasons that an SA is not going to be booked. And that's quality, area, management.
Mm.
And if you can get them three down, you'll rake it in. Well, yeah, at least.
Absolutely.
At least make some in.
You'll be on page one and you'll be in the position to be booked.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's as simple as that.
Do you play computer games?
No, I haven't.
Did you ever?
I used to be addicted to GTA 5.
Okay,
so
GTA, that's pretty.
Yeah, I used to, but to be honest with you, I haven't played Xbox or anything since the day I joined the academy. I have no interest for it now, to be honest. Yeah.
Well, now you're doing it in real life.
Yeah.
What I was going to say about computer games is, you know, when you play a computer game and you get stuck on a level.
Yeah.
When you crack that level and you go, now you can get through it. Every time you breeze through it, it's the same in business. Yeah. If you get stuck at a problem, I can't close a deal. I can't get bookings. How do I save on taxes? Once you've cracked it, you've unlocked a new level, and you can now do it, and that's kind of what you guys have done.
Yeah, no, absolutely, it's
very good way looking at it. Yeah, because life is a game, right? In the day,
yeah, and business is a game, and the only way to keep track of whether you're winning or not is by just look at the bank.
Yeah, play or be played.
Yeah. Well, what would you say, Matt? Biggest advice people want to get started in property?
Biggest advice.
What would you say to yourself? A year ago or even 2 years ago? Because when did you join the academy? It must be about a year and a half.
About a year and a half, yeah.
So if you were speaking to yourself from a year and a half ago, just before you
took the plunge. So do you know what the annoying thing about myself as well is? I found you in 2018.
Jeez.
So, and I didn't join until 2022.
For a reason.
For a reason. But I kind of look back and say, I remember it was your American Financial Freedom Challenge.
Yeah, that's 2018, yeah.
That's when I found you and I went, no, it's probably all fake. And I fell for that for 4 years. So, you know, if it's in front of you, pursue it. And don't look back. Go for it.
Luckily, you're still young.
Yeah.
Some people are in there. I was chatting with someone on a Wednesday a couple of weeks ago, Leslie and Chris, and they said, I wish we started younger. And they're like, I don't know how old they are, in their 50s, maybe 60 or something. And it's like, okay. But you are how old?
I'm 27 now.
Pretty young. So it's still young. How old are you, Jammer?
25.
Very young. So you got a lot to build now.
Absolutely.
A lot to conquer. Well, guys, I appreciate you sharing your stories, man. And I just want to say well done for working so hard. I want to say, Matt, well done for persevering. A lot of people would have quit.
I've seen it a lot.
6 months in. I mean, even when you, after you joined the academy and you were 6 months in and still struggling, not getting anywhere, you could have quit, but you didn't. You unlocked and got to the new level. And I want to commend you for that. And Jamie as well. It's been great seeing your growth. So I look forward to seeing what the future holds. And thanks once again for sharing your story.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.